بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In this lesson we're going to cover the fourth principle which Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab rahimullah, he mentions in the treatise he wrote called أربع قواعد تدور الأحكام عليها. Four principles upon which the religion or the rulings of the religion are based upon. And just to revise, the first principle that he mentioned was regarding what? What was the first principle, Abdurrahim?
Not speaking about Allah and His religion without
knowledge. Excellent. Not speaking about Allah and about the religion of Allah without knowledge. And the second principle, that those matters which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has remained silent over, He did that as a form of mercy, pardoning, and make it permissible for you. The third principle, Salahuddin, what was the third principle? What was the third principle we covered? Give him the piece of paper. Look at the third principle. Yeah. Read the first line.
To left the core indeed, and what they both choose to okay.
Ambiguous.
Appraisals.
Over there. Proofs.
Proofs.
So the third principle is for a person to leave off the clear evidences and instead to try to go to the ayat or the ahadith which have an ambiguous wording. This is the way of the people of innovation and the people of deviation, like the Rawafid and the Khawarij. And Allah said in the Quran, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْ. As for those people who have a deviation in their hearts, then they follow that which is ambiguous. And we explained the meaning of the ambiguity in the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fourth principle is regarding a famous hadith which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned when he said, "Inna al-halala bayyin," indeed that which is halal is clear, "wal harama bayyin," and that which is haram is clear, "wa baynahuma umurun mushtabihat," and between them are doubtful matters. The fourth principle, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكر, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentioned, أن الحلال بين والحرام بين وبينهما أمور مشتبهات, that the halal, the permitted matters are clear, and the haram, the matters which are unlawful are also clear, وبينهما أمور مشتبهات. However, between these two clear matters are matters which are doubtful. And whoever does not pay attention to this principle and then wants to speak about an issue, then not only will he misguide himself, but he will also misguide others. So this hadith is a hadith which has been narrated by An-Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu. And it is an important hadith and it contains a principle in our religion. Rather, this hadith is from the core principles of our religion. When we look into the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course there are many, many ahadith. However, there are certain ahadith which are so comprehensive in their meaning that they act like principles in the religion. And many other ahadith are then based upon this. And for this reason, the ulama, they used to say, for example, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimullah, he said, أصول الحديث or أصول الإسلام عندنا أربعة حديث or ثلاثة حديث. Imam Ahmad رحمه الله, he said, أصول الإسلام عندنا ثلاثة حديث. The core principles of Islam are three main حديث. حديث عمر رضي الله عنه, إنما الأعمال بالنيات, indeed, actions are by their intentions. وحديث عائشة رضي الله عنها, من أحدث في أمرنا ما ليس منه فهو رد. Whoever innovates an action in this religion, which is not according to our affair, then it will be rejected. And then the third hadith is mentioned, is this hadith, the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنُ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنُ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ. So each one of these three hadith is like a core foundation of our religion. Also, other scholars of hadith and other imams of hadith, like Imam Abu Dawood al-Sijistani, the one who compiled Sunan Abi Dawood, he said, نَظَرْتُ فِي الْأَحَدِيثِ الْمُسْنَدَةِ فَوَجَدْتُهَا 4,000 حَدِيثًا. That I looked into the ahadith which are musnada, and I found them to be 4,000 ahadith. ثُمَّ نَظَرْتُ فِيهَا, and then I looked into these 4,000 ahadith, فَوَجَدْتُ مَدَارَهَا عَلَىٰ 4 ahadith. And then I found that these 4,000 ahadith, they are based upon 4 main hadith. And these 4 hadith, they are like the principles of this religion. So he mentioned the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, indeed actions are by the intentions. He mentioned the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْ, whoever innovates into our religion that which is not in agreement with our faith, it will be rejected. He mentioned the hadith of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ وَلَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا, indeed Allah is good and pure and does not accept that which is good and pure. And then he mentioned the other hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who said, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي, from the goodness of a person's Islam is to leave alone that which does not concern him. So we have like these hadith, which although they little in their wording, but they act as core principles of the religion. For this reason, Imam An-Nawawi rahimullah, he compiled 40 hadith. Each one of these 40 hadith is like a principle in our religion. And previously in other lessons, I mentioned to you the poetry that some of them would say, عُمْدَةُ الدِّينِ عِنْدَنَا كَلِمَاتٌ أَرْبَعٌ. The core of our religion are 4 statements. مِنْ خَيْرِ كَلَامِ من كلام خير البرية, عمدة الدين عندنا كلمات أربع من كلام خير البرية. The core principles of our religion according to us are 4 statements. From the speech of the best of creation, I the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, اتق الشبهات وزهد ودعما. اتق الشبهات, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is this hadith, that fear the doubtful matters. وزهد, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, izhad fi dunya yuhibbuk Allah, that have zuhud in this dunya, have a level of simplicity and asceticism in this dunya, and Allah will love you. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, da'ma laysa bi ya'nik, leave alone that which does not concern you, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And then the fourth hadith is wa'malanna bi niyyah, act according to the intentions. أي إنما الأعمال بالنيات. So these are like a hadith which are core principles of our religion. This hadith, the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir, which the author mentioned a part of, is also a core principle from our religion. The hadith is إن الحلال بين وإن الحرام بين وبينهما أمور مشتبهات. Indeed, the halal, the permitted matters are clear, and the haram, the prohibited matters are clear. وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ, and between them are doubtful matters. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبَهَاتِ فَقَدِ اسْتَبْرَ بِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ, whoever stays away from the doubtful matters, then he will save his honor and he will save his religion. وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبَهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ, and whoever goes towards the doubtful matters or falls into the doubtful matters, then he will end up falling into that which is haram. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ala inna li kulli malikin hima, indeed every king or every owner has a certain area. Ala inna hima Allah maharimu, and indeed that area which a person should not approach of Allah are his are the matters which are haram. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَلَا إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً. Indeed, in the body there is a morsel of flesh. إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. If this becomes rectified and correct, then the whole body will become correct. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. And if this becomes corrupt, then the whole body will become corrupt. And then he said, أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. Indeed, it is the heart. So no doubt this hadith, it contains many benefits. And the first benefit of the hadith is that there are three types of matters. Like the Prophet said, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّن. The first type are those matters which are known to everybody that they are halal. Meaning even if you were to ask a common Muslim who has no knowledge of Islam or little knowledge of Islam about this action, he would say it's halal. Like certain types of food and drink and clothing, and many things are halal, alhamdulillah. And then the other second type is those matters which are clearly haram. Again, even a common Muslim who has little knowledge of Islam, he knows that these issues are clearly haram. Like drinking alcohol and zina and stealing and matters like this. And then the third type of matter is the doubtful matters. You're not sure whether it's halal and you're not sure whether it's haram. And also this hadith, one of the benefits is that even in the texts of the book and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are three types of texts. An evidence which clearly you know that that matter which it is talking about, it is halal. And then another evidence or another text which points towards something being haram and you know it straight away. Like we said, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشِ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ. Say, indeed my Lord has made immoral actions forbidden. That which is apparent and that which is hidden. So it's clear. And then you have a certain type of text that you're not sure. Is it saying that it is permitted, or is it not? Or is it saying that it is not permitted? And this doubtful text, it's relative. Meaning, it's doubtful to me because I have little knowledge. But to the alim, to the scholar, it's not doubtful for him. He knows that this text is saying it is haram, or this text it is saying it is halal. You might have, for example, certain evidences which are am, which are very general. Have they been specified by other evidences or not? You might have an ayah, has it been abrogated by another ayah or not? Unlike this. So, in these cases, what should a person do? A person avoids that which is haram clearly, and he goes towards that which is halal clear, and the matters which are doubtful, he avoids that, and he goes back to that which is halal. And when it comes to the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah, then anything which is of doubt to you and you don't quite understand, then you go to that which is clear, or the principle which you know from the religion which is clear. And as for the doubtful text that you're not quite sure of due to lack of your knowledge, then you ask the ulama, you ask the scholars regarding its explanation. He said, وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ. That between them are doubtful matters. Whoever falls into these doubtful matters will end up falling into haram. And this is something which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions and the imams of the Salaf, that they were very careful of staying away from the doubtful matters. We're not talking about things which are haram, because the things which are haram, you have to stay away from them in the first place. We are talking about things which are doubtful, that a person stays away even from them. This is clearly shown in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that one day when he was going towards his house, he near his house he found a date, and he picked the date up, and he said, "Lola akhaf an takuna min as-sadaqa la akaltuha." That had I not feared that perhaps this is charity that somebody has given for somebody else, then I would have eaten it. So now look, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left it. Why? Because it is doubtful. If it was halal, clearly he would have eaten it. And if it was haram, clearly haram, he would have left it alone. But because it was doubtful, he feared it might be charity, then he stayed away from it. So this is a chapter, or this is an avenue in our religion for a person to save himself from falling into haram. Not only do you stay away from the haram, but you also stay away from anything which is doubtful to you. Again, this doubtful thing, it is nisbi. It might be doubtful to you, but to the alim, to the scholar, it's not doubtful to him. He sees it as being halal, or he sees it as being haram. But if you stay away from the doubtful thing, you haven't lost anything. The only thing you have done is like the Prophet ﷺ said, فَقَدِ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ, that you have preserved your religion and you have preserved your honor. And from the benefits of this hadith is a person preserving and protecting his honor. And this is something which is in the religion, that a person should always try to maintain his integrity and his honor and protect his status amongst the people. This isn't something which is un-Islamic. This is something which is good. So for example, on a practical level, if somebody, let's see, if you're seen in a place in which righteous people aren't usually seen. For example, near a particular shop, or you're seen somewhere else which righteous people don't necessarily go to that place. The person who you saw you, you go to him and you explain to him that the reason why I went to this shop or I'm walking past it is this reason and this reason, I don't go into these places. This is something which is from Islam. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that you were never going to go into that shop, for example. Even though Allah knows that your integrity and your honor is still maintained, but you protect your honor by explaining to that person. A clear example of this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that one day he was leaving the masjid, or he was walking from a particular place, and he was walking with Safiya radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, his wife Safiya radiallahu anha. From far away, two Ansari men saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a woman. They didn't know who this woman was. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he approached them and he said to them, "Ala rislikuma innaha Safiya," that, you know, be calm or carry on going, it is Safiya. And the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this is he didn't want any thought to come into the minds of those two men, that they think that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is walking with a woman who is ajnabi. Of course, the companions, they were astonished. Would any companion ever think bad of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna shaytana yajri majraddam," that shaytan, he flows through a person's body like the flowing of a person's blood through his veins. So just as, even though you have done something which is not haram, but because shaitan comes and he puts doubts in people's minds and he tries to create problems and animosity between the people, you always try to preserve and maintain your honor and your integrity and your status amongst the people. This is one of the benefits of this hadith, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever stays away from these shubahat, these doubtful matters, these doubtful places, then he will protect his religion and his honor. Two separate things. You protect your religion, this is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you protect your honor amongst the people. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ala inna fil jasadi mudgha," indeed in the body there is a muscle or a morsel of flesh or an organ. "Idha salahat salah al jasadu kullu," if this becomes rectified, then your whole body will become rectified. Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Abbad, Hafidhullah, our Sheikh, when he was explaining this hadith and he came to this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he then supplicated. He said, "Allahumma aslih lana hadhihi al-mudgha." Oh Allah, rectify for us this organ or this morsel of flesh. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he attached importance to a person's heart, that if a person looks after his heart and he develops taqwa in his heart, and he develops the love of Allah in his heart, and he develops the fear of Allah in his heart, then this will lead to him rectifying his tongue and rectifying his limbs. And this is one of the reasons why we teach and place importance upon at-tawheed. Because if you can rectify at-tawheed which is in your heart, and develop your iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your love and fear of Allah, then by the permission of Allah, the rest of your affairs will become easy. And you said, Allah wa hiya al-qalb, indeed this is the heart. So these are some of the benefits which are mentioned in this hadith. The reason why the author mentioned this hadith in this principle is that a person stays away from the doubtful matters. Stay away from that which is haram, also stay away from that which is doubtful. And, walhamdulillah, the matters which are halal are many for us that we can go into. And as for a person, like he said, يَتَكَلَّمْ عَلَىٰ مَسْأَلَةٍ بِكَلَامٍ فَاصِلٍ. As for a person who wants to make a ruling on every, who wants to make a judgment on every issue, or wants to make a ruling on every issue, and he doesn't pay any attention to that which is halal clear, and that which is haram clear, and the doubtful matters, and even on the doubtful matters he gives rulings, then this is a person, فَقَدْ ضَلَّ وَأَضَلْ. He will misguide himself, and also he will misguide others. So this is the principle in summary, that stay away from the haram matters, also stay away from the doubtful matters, and go towards that which is halal and clear. For this reason, when a person studies the books of the fuqaha on many issues, they will say that it is better to adopt this opinion. They will say it is better to adopt this opinion, فَإِنَّهُ أَحْوَطْ, because it is safer. Even though perhaps the other opinion is slightly more stronger, but because of the safety of this opinion, they say it is better for a person to adopt this opinion. For example, and there are many examples, but the doing tawaf. The ulama, they differed. Is tawaf, is wudu a condition for tawaf, or is wudu not a condition for tawaf? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the tawaf around the Kaaba is like the prayer, except they're speaking during the tawaf. Because of this, the ulama differed. Does this mean that you have to have wudu for tawaf like you have to have for the prayer or not? Some ulama said it is a condition, others ulama said it is not a condition. Even if you hold the opinion that wudu is not a condition for the tawaf, what is ahwat, what is safer? That you make wudu. If you make wudu and wudu wasn't a condition for the tawaf, then your tawaf is still complete. However, if you didn't make wudu, and you made tawaf and you were wrong, and perhaps wudu was a condition for the tawaf, then you have not fulfilled the tawaf. And like this, many things like this. People ask, for example, is it permitted to touch the mushaf without wudu? And the ulama have differed, and the difference is well known. What is safer for a person? Make wudu and then touch the mushaf and recite from the Qur'an. Even if you believe that it is not a condition, that which is ahwat, safer for your religion, safer for your honor, and more exalting of the Book of Allah, is that you make wudu. People, for example, they ask about, commonly, gelatin sweets. Sweets which have gelatin. Is it a necessity that you have to eat sweets which have gelatin in them? Can a person, are there no other sweets which don't have gelatin in them? So, a person stays away from these sweets and he has maintained, protected his honor and protected his religion. And as I said, there are many issues like this. The issue of, many issues like this, ala kulli hal. So this is the principle in summary. And then the author, rahimullah, he said, فَهَذِهِ ثلاث ذَكَرَهَ اللَّهِ فِي كِتَابِهِ وَالرَّابِعَ ذَكَرَهَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. That three of these principles Allah mentioned in his book. Which three principles did Allah mention in his book? He said, three of these principles Allah mentioned in his book, and one of them the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. So which of these four principles are mentioned in the Qur'an, and which one is mentioned in the hadith? You read it earlier on.
The fourth one is the hadith.
The hadith, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنْ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنْ. And the ayat, which ones are they? What are the ayat? The first one, what's the ayah in the first one?
ما ظهر منها وما بطن. And the second ayah from the Quran. No, the second. Sorry, the second qaida, the second principle. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تبد لكم تسؤكم. And the third principle in which ayah? In Surah Ali Imran. فأما الذين فاذا فأما الذين
فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه.
نعم ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله. So these are the four principles that we should try to understand, learn and implement. And if people understood these principles and implemented these principles, you would see less deviation and less misguidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us sincerity in all our speech and actions, and to teach us beneficial knowledge, and give us righteous actions, and give us rizq which is halal and tayyib. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab for his striving and for his jihad, and to reward our mashayikh and our teachers, and give us all tawfiq and keep us upon the straight path. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.